Welcome to On The Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. Today's episode is a bonus episode with my friend, actress and author, Sarah Hamilton. This episode kind of came together very last minute. I found out Sarah had a book signing coming up this weekend here in Los Angeles at the Barnes & Noble store at the Grove. It's really a big deal to get a signing over at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. So I wanted to make sure that we were able to put something together to help promote that show along with Sarah. And yeah, it was kind of a shock to me to find out that she was an author. I've known Sarah for a few years now. We worked together at Warner Brothers and had no idea that she was an author on top of being an actress. She is always so incredibly busy, which we talk about throughout this. I've watched her run from one side of the lot to the other, leaving one job and going to the next. And so it was really fun to find out how everything comes together for her, how she balances such a busy schedule, and when writing books started off. So that was kind of the main thing that got her going. She published her first novel when she was only 17. And it was kind of cool to find out how the story came to be, you know, how she has been able to create her own work. You know, with Los Angeles can be difficult working within the entertainment industry. Sometimes you do just have to be able to make your own work so that you can have projects and be able to showcase, you know, your talent. And Sarah is no stranger to doing so. It was very fun talking to her and learning more about growing up in upstate New York and making the move to Los Angeles. So we both kind of have some similar angles to our story, some of the things that inspired us to get moved to Los Angeles. And yeah, it was really fun finding out everything about Sarah. You guys may remember Sarah. She starred in one of our episodes of our series, Screams from the Dark. That was the episode, The Chair, that I had directed. Sarah was so much fun to have on set. She is always very, very prepared, which is something that you really want in an actor. No matter how big the shoot is, you're just really hoping that, you know, you cast the right person, that they're going to show up prepared. And we talked about that, of how Sarah goes about that and what her process is. It was very, very fun having her on the show and learning just so much about what makes her tick. And how she just stays positive and continues to move forward in an industry that can be so tough and so demoralizing. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun being able to learn more of her backstory. Please, again, go to the Grove if you're here in Los Angeles this Saturday to meet Sarah and get a couple of her books signed. She'll have two of her three books available there. One will be available for digital order. The Lies We Tell and The Royal Enchantress, a royalty status novel, will both be available. You can get those signed by Sarah this Saturday. And then L.A. Mermaids will also be available coming up here so that you can buy that digitally. But again, thank you so much to Sarah for taking the time to get this all recorded and put together. Like I said, this was very last minute coming up on her book signing. We wanted to make sure that we had her on the show here. Thank you guys for sticking along. So I've enjoyed hearing everybody's feedback coming in after the last few episodes of the show, returning with Elisa Jordan, Janine Hogan. I think you guys are really going to love getting to know Sarah. Coming up this next week, we also will have a new episode with Danny Taylor. He's a Broadway percussionist. He's been a drummer pretty much his entire life, and it's been really fun to learn his story. And it's an extra unique one because Danny is one of my cousins. Now, not like a direct cousin. I thought it was third cousin. It might be second cousin once removed. I don't understand that genealogical math. But any of you guys can try and explain it to me, and I probably still won't understand it. But it was really fun having Danny on the show and learning more about him and talking about just the ridiculous way that we finally met for the first time being family. But yeah, it was really fun having him on. That episode will release on Monday, so stay tuned for that. Again, thank you so much, Sarah Hamilton, for taking the time to join me on the show. And again, everybody get out, see her in Los Angeles this week at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Go get some books signed, support independent artists. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. We'll see you next week. So I'm excited. I know this was very last minute.
It's okay. Totally worries.
Put this together. But as soon as I saw that you were doing a book signing this weekend, I was like, all right, like pivot, we got to get Sarah in like as quickly as we can, because it's one thing to have a book signing. It's another to have a book signing at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. Like, that is quite a feat to get to. And so I wanted to make sure that, like, we had the due diligence to help you promote it, to get people out to it, because yeah, it's really cool to be able to do that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no, I think one of the first events I ever did when I first moved out to LA was I went to a book signing at the Grove.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. So I was like, oh, it'd be so cool to do that eventually. And eventually it got to a point where I was able to do that now.
Yeah,
I had to
that
book
was
it like months
probably
in
my
advance.
first things too, was going to book signings at the Grove. Like it was just always the thing that we would do. And it was like I probably there were times I probably went to two or three within a week. Yeah,
That's cool.
it
That's
just it became
awesome.
a fun little obsession.
It's like it's fun, it's cool, and it's such a cool location. Like the first, I think it was during that book signing was the first time I ever got to see that location. I'm like, there's three floors. Like my hometown, the best one is two stories, and I like that one, but three stories, that's something else.
Yeah, the biggest one I would go into in Utah, it was just one floor. And I mean it was big, but it was still one floor, and the biggest thing the Starbucks sold was hot chocolate. So it was very weird, yeah, to come to that one and be like, I have to take escalators to like each area and I can still get lost. Yeah, it is so big, and it's so cool too at the Grove because you get such an eclectic mix of people there. Like I remember going to a book signing. I can't remember whose book signing it was at this point, but it was right after it was my first holiday season living in LA and staying in LA for the holidays, and I had never experienced Hanukkah, and it was the first night of Hanukkah, and they do the menorah lighting. So at the Grove, walking out from the book signing, and this just huge party was going on, and I was like, what? What is this? And all these people coming up to me and quickly just being like, are you Jewish? And I was like, no. And they're like, well, happy Hanukkah anyway. And it was such a cool, unique experience that has stuck with me forever. But it was because of a book signing at the Grove that I got to experience that.
That's so cool.
Then how long have you been out in LA now? So, because we met what almost probably about two and a half years ago working together at Warner Brothers. But how long have you been here overall so far?
I've been here since 2015.
Oh, wow.
So I ironically took the Warner Brothers tour in high school around the like before, like it was the first ever trip to California. It was before even starting to like figure out like school plans or anything. And I cried like from the airport, like the hotel shuttle to the airport, like the whole time. And the only thing that made me stop crying was thinking dramatically as I look out the window, I'm like, oh, I just have to promise I'll be back at some point. And literally, like a year or two later, we were back. I think it was like the following year, I was back again to actually look at a few different schools out here. And then actually just like moved out, I think, as in September 2015, end of August, to start over as a film and television production major at Loyola Marymount.
That's
And just been
awesome.
here ever since.
It's funny the impact that visiting a studio on a just on a tour can have when it's kind of where you're aspiring. Because I remember the first one I ever went on was Paramount. So I had a friend working on a show at Paramount in 2011, and invited us over and was just like, yeah, like come take a tour. And going through that, it was like, oh, this is what it's like to be like on a set. And like I was obsessed with Community at the time, and I remember they took us into the set for Community, and I almost cried walking into the study room and like seeing the study room table and just being like, it's all right here. Like it was breaking my brain during that entire thing. But then like on that same trip going to Warner Brothers and taking the tour there as well, and there was something about crossing through those gates that it was that same kind of feeling where it was just like, oh, like this is where I need to be. Like there was just I don't know how to describe it, but clearly you kind of had that same experience of like, yeah,
Absolutely.
it's a magical place. I mean, even Paramount, that's not a knock on Paramount because Paramount also I love that lot, but yeah, there was something about Warner Brothers, and it was just like it became almost a weird obsession. It was like, I have to get back here. Like I just have to.
That's wild though, because like also like around that same time, and I originally brought up because I grew up on a lot of Looney Tunes, and then of course like at high school it was like peak like Pretty Little Liars time,
Yeah.
so obviously I'm like, let's go Rosewood. But it was so funny though, because like Even after the fact, like when I should have been going to sleep, instead I was like on an iPod Touch or something, like strolling around maps, trying to like see where everything is. I'm like, wow, there's everything around this area, and going in and being like, oh, I think this was the tour path we took. And like I got so excited about it. But then again, like around even earlier, like looking back, it's funny because I used to get excited if there was like, I don't know, like a weekend open house, you just check out random houses in the air for fun or whatever. And whenever they set up like fake food and like all the like the fake furniture and stuff, like for some reason that was just also so cool at that age. So I think I knew earlier before I even knew, but yeah.
That's so wild too. Like there's just so much when it comes to making that decision and feeling that magic there. That I mean, you mentioned Pretty Little Liars. Like I remember going through at that time, and even coming back and having friends working on the lot and like going into their stages and being like, "Wow, this show I watch that." And to anybody listening, yes, I watch Pretty Little Liars. I do love that show. But yeah, it was so wild to see so much there and just to see the history come to life. And yeah, I grew up on Looney Tunes as well. And so yeah, it's so wild. But I'm glad to know I'm also not the only weirdo who would get on Google Maps and yeah, do the whole like driving around, like click
That's so
the
cool you did that too. Yeah.
arrow.
Yep. Yeah, no, that was
Yeah,
the time.
when I first moved to Los Angeles in 2013 and then had to move back to Utah, it was like therapy before I started coming out all the time, where I would just like go on Google Maps and be like, I could be there right now. Like, and I would literally just like drive around the neighborhood I had to live, just like clicking through the arrows. So yeah, I'm glad I was not alone in doing this.
Honestly, I've brought it up on very like few occasions, but I up until right now did not know anyone else did that. So thank you, I'm glad. But yeah.
So now it's funny too to be talking to you right now because my wife and I actually were just talking about you a few weeks ago. We had just watched Immaculate, and as I'm watching it, I never realized that you have a very similar dynamic because we've also worked together doing a short film before. You have a very unique dynamic, very similar to Sydney Sweeney.
I've heard that before, actually.
And as the movie ends, my wife leans over and she's like, "She reminds me of Sarah." And I
That's so funny.
started laughing. I'm like, I was thinking the exact same thing.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's funny too that you have heard that before because yeah, it's one thing for somebody to be like, "You look like somebody," but to have the same kind of acting cadences. That's a pretty unique trait to have. So
That's neat. That's interesting. I know we both have the same headshot photographer. Like
Oh,
when I was
really?
researching, like, oh, like who else and like what photos are here, like a while back. Yeah. She was up there. So
Yeah, that's a smart way to look at it. Is when you're looking for a photographer, is who what bigger clients have they had? Because you know it worked for them. And so yeah, because so often I see people that are like, yeah, I'm getting new headshots, and I'm like, well, it just looks like somebody just with a basic DSLR. Like, put the money into your headshots, and it's well worthwhile.
They turned out great. This was like, I want to say, like second or third time getting headshots throughout, and I was actually recommended by my manager, so
Nice.
like worked out perfectly. Yeah.
Now, you grew up back in New York, is that right?
Yeah, Rochester, so way up there. But yeah.
So what was the kind of entertainment community like to start kind of inspiring you to go down this path?
Yeah. This seems like the other side of a TV screen. And maybe this is just my experience, but like that's like there's definitely people interested in like film and TV and acting and everything, but it's way more a little more pushed on the theater side from what I saw. And even then, like, honestly, I'm one of the extreme few people that I know within any point of that time frame that actually ended up out here doing this stuff. And I did not expect myself to be that person. There was a long list of people who probably would have been more likely. But yeah, just it was definitely different. But I knew that it was something that I liked. And once I actually first took that tour, I just remember being like, oh, wait, this is real. Like, I could actually potentially do this. And yeah, like at the time, like in high school, I was a part of like a bunch of various things, but like a lot of it was either like, oh, like some like small roles throughout like the fall plays, and I was part of an improv club every week. I was doing like morning announcements and a writing group and a singing group, but like when it came down to the musicals, did not get into those. So like I kept auditioning, like in middle school I did, but just as like chorus. And I kept like trying over and over again, but there was like a weird scheduling conflict, like where I was in band instead of chorus. So like for some reason that made a difference or whatever. And like even though I probably didn't fully, looking back, had the full skill to do the things for that, honestly, like I internally felt like they're making a mistake, like I'm supposed to be doing this. So I kept going and like kind of just created opportunities through making short films with my friends. And then I would create like a little morning announcement. It was like a little TV show almost to like tell the news and everything. And I like was asked to make like some commercials and such for different things. And I think that kind of got the word out there. And then like throughout the district, I was being asked to like make commercials for stuff, and it kind of just grew. So it's always been kind of a combination of like writing, acting, and filmmaking. So that still follows through. I do too much, but it's fun and
Yeah.
all connected. So
But the persistent pays off, and that's the biggest thing with that is not letting the rejection get to you. I mean, this is the business of no. Like, we hear no a million times before you get that one, even just maybe. And
Right,
so
yeah.
it really is the persistence. And I mean, to even go through that and then come out here on a vacation and go on a tour and then be like, oh, I'm gonna move literally to the other side of the country and go to college and be able to make this a career. Most people aren't going to take that. I mean, sometimes it feels like that's what everybody does. I mean, LA is just full of transplants, and you
Here,
ask
yeah.
a lot of them, they're like, I'm from New York, I'm from Boston. Like, you get a lot of people that have done that, but overall, in the grand scheme, very few people are really going to take that risk, especially if they aren't getting that instant gratification growing up. And
Right.
it's awesome that you looked at it and was like, fine, I'll just do this. I'll make it this way. And that's you hear so many people's success stories, and that's how it starts, is just that persistence of, no, I'm going to make this happen. So I know
Right.
we started working
Yeah.
together. That was one of the first things I noticed about you right away was you'd be at work one day, and then all of a sudden I'd see on Instagram, oh, I'm, on set for, this show. And then,
Yeah.
like, a few days later, like, you're acting, as a princess. And like, it's
Yep.
always like, Sarah just hustles.
Yeah. That's like another thing, like try to be positive here. But like honestly, it's something I realized is I've kind of been doing like multiple things for like honestly like several years now. Like since I graduated, it's like, all right, well, I started with the princess parties right off the bat. I love doing that. And then was just kind of like nonstop auditioning and trying to get whatever things would pop up, and worked a bunch of non-union projects at the time, just whatever was there. And then it kind of spiraled a little bit into like after I start. Yeah, once started, I can talk. Once things started to come back at a certain point after like COVID, it was just like, all right, well, all of a sudden I booked a Netflix role for like a few days. So they had sequester days and everything at the time. And it was kind of backwards. I had that role with the trailer and the whole moment and everything. And then the next thing you know, I just like thanked the casting director, was like, hey, if there's anything else. And at the time, like the response was, yeah, there's like another Disney movie coming up, but it's just background. I could try to get you a voucher or something. You're already like eligible and everything to join the union, but you, if you want to do it, it's going to be different. Like you won't get a trailer. And I'm like, that's fine. I just want to do this. Like this sounds great. And then it like kind of spiraled into like a year of just nonstop like professional background to try to like, and whatever acting things popped up. So it was like a variety of different projects at all different levels. And like a little after that, got burnt out of the long hours because it was so nonstop and back to back with different shows. So like things got chaotic. And I'm like, all right, well, let's slow down. And that's when I started up at Warner. And then eventually, like just now, it's kind of a combination of a little bit of everything. And I'm actually trying to like figure out how to balance it even better at this point, because every so frequently it's like I have to change things a little bit. But like it's hard doing everything. Eventually I had to realize, oh, health is important, getting enough sleep is important and all that. But We're trying. So it's
Yeah.
fun. It's fun.
The sleep is very important. The sleep
Yeah.
is probably the one thing I'm a little particular on, is it's just like I used to do, like, especially in my 20s, it was very much like I just have to go.
Same.
And yeah, there were times that like I would sleep like 3 hours.
Yikes.
And I was just a walking zombie and I wasn't feeling good. And then I had to be like, oh yeah, I should probably focus on that. And I started listening to a bunch of different like radio shows and stuff. And I would hear these hosts and producers that I admired, and they'd be like, oh no, sleep is like my most important thing. And I was like, oh, if they can manage it all, I guess I can. And
Right.
that, it became very much like, no, I need to like focus on that 8 hours. And but as soon as
Right.
I'm up, like it's work. But yeah,
Yeah.
the sleep is something that I think people think that, oh, I'll sleep when I'm dead. But it's like, no, you gotta prioritize, because then you can't really give the project your all if you're just too
Right.
exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Now, what was the Netflix show that you got onto?
yes, it was up for Colin in Black and White.
Okay.
A couple years ago, and I played Lindsay, and it was interesting because it was under a code name, so I wasn't really like told anything in particular. I had very limited information, but also that was before like working kind of like bigger network giant projects like that. So I'm like, yeah, right. This can't be real. I questioned this lady, and I feel so bad now. But no, it turned out to be real. And I went through, I filmed, and I couldn't find out any information about the character. It was just like little moment towards the end of the show. It's nothing crazy, but it was so much fun to be on that set. And then it got to a point where, like, after the premiere, and I got to go to the premiere, I walked the carpet, like, got like paparazzi walking out of the after party, like the whole nine yards. Now there's like these really weird websites where they're just like bots trying to like put up false information about my net worth and stuff, which is fun.
Those net worth sites are always fun.
They're so funny, and I'm like, man, they're not right, but
If
it's funny to look at. But yeah,
I
like
could
literally
just take that to the bank, I'd be set.
it's like, excuse me, this website says it must be real. Like that'd be great. But yeah, it was funny. Like I went through, and like right after, or even like possibly that night, but I think it was like a day after. I just remember like I got a DM on Instagram from the real Lindsay, and she was like, "Oh, congrats! Like you did such a great job." And I was like, that's so cool and strange that this is like actually a real person that
Yeah,
I portray on TV. So it was really cool.
that's pretty cool, especially to get that person to reach out and be like, "The like you did me well." Like
Yeah.
that would be so weird to be playing a real person and then like hope to like,
Weird.
is this right? So that's awesome that she actually
Yeah.
reached out to compliment you on it.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
So now, as some of those spun off, I think one of the coolest ones that you got to do was as Winning Time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is you got to be one of the Laker girls for both season one and two, right?
As nonstop background season one, like basically that was like almost a full-time job at that point. I was there for like basically almost within the first like month or two when they started to like literally the very last day. That was the first time seeing like the overview of an entire season, so that was really neat. But yeah, season two got brought back as a Laker girl for a little bit. So it wasn't the whole time, sadly. I would have loved to, but things changed within their plans. But I was just happy I got to do that. And it was fun like bouncing back and forth between like having an actual day working on the lot to like stopping that and running over for a fitting and then like talking to other tour groups like during the day. And it was so much fun.
It always has cracked me up since I've known you at Warner, is walking around the lot and like I'll see the first half of the day, and then like mid-afternoon, I see you just like booking it to the other side of the lot, like with wardrobe in hand, or like your hair up, like you're getting ready to like go audition. And I'm always like, "Girl, Sarah, like she's hustling to the next thing."
I've turned into a princess character in the parking lot once just because it was just the timing of it. I usually don't do any like on those days. I have set days for different jobs now because that was a part of trying to balance it a little bit better. But you know, sometimes things pop up, and that was one of those times I actually like took a photo because I just thought it was the funniest thing that it's like, yep, there's this very iconic princess just like the parking lot at a studio. No one's gonna question it, but yeah.
it has always made me laugh, but it's also something that I've always admired. So I'm just like, yeah, she puts in the work.
I try. It's just fun. I like what I do, and I think that's like the root of it, is just if I see an opportunity, I like being able to go for it, and it hurts so hard whenever there's like multiple cool opportunities that I have to just like choose one and not the others. That's where it's annoying. So I try to make everything happen if I can.
So what was that like? I mean, we got to experience some of Winning Time with season 2 being
Did.
on the lot. And I mean, it was such a massive production. Like, I don't think people truly understand the scale of when they're putting together those basketball games and you're trying to go around a studio lot, but there's 1,000 extras for just one show alone.
And
And
they make them look like so much more. Like in
yeah.
the show, it's a lot more than 1,000 too. But yeah, no, those busier days were a lot. And yeah, they were fun though. But
Yeah, and they were a really cool cast. Like I thoroughly
yeah.
enjoyed walking around and seeing them. I know when my wife started working at the studio and I'm walking her around and like just kind of showing her how to get around certain areas. And I at one point I was going up an area that we call Sound Alley, where like all the ADR stages and everything is at, and the orchestra scoring stage. And I was like, yeah, this is always the area that like I randomly run into, just like the person you don't expect to. And we turn the corner and there's Quincy Isaiah, who was Magic Jones. And it was always the spot that I could find Winning Time cast members, just totally on accident, just turning the corner.
Was really nice. I had a good conversation with Jason Segel at one point where he was just like so grateful that like for because there were some hours on that show guaranteed, and he was just like, wow, it's just amazing that like we're all there and you're all just going through this and like being a part of it. So like, so thank you, like that's really really great that we all get to work on this. And I thought that was really nice. And I personally thought it was cool how the basketball performers, and it's in behind the scenes, so I don't think this is not knowledgeable. Like they all had like these really really cool platform sneakers that like you wouldn't see in the show, but in reality we're all just over here like those look like fun. They're like the most like tallest shoes imaginable to try to work the angles. I just thought that was awesome.
Anybody who's not seen behind the scenes stuff from Winning Time, it is some of the coolest stuff, the way that they created to get some of those shots down, where they had people on rollerblades and like
Yeah. There are
you could see
Heelys
them from,
too.
yeah, and Heelys, like so that they could keep up the speed. And
Yeah.
you have to film so much different. You have to create ways to film, and I thought that was so cool, seeing so much of the behind the scenes.
Yeah. There is one moment that I don't know if it was ever shown, but in the show, like one of the characters like makes a basket. And like everyone in the audience is like booing and being like, oh no, like that's bad. The thing is it was so late at that point that we were all internally cheering because of the fact that that took so many takes to try to make, because the angle was off. Like it was not an easy basket to make, and it was a complicated shot to try and get like the full pan and everything. So it's just take after take, and we're all just like, oh, boo, but it was secretly like, yay. And oh man, that took a while. And once that was it from the night too. So we're all just over here like going. But it was really weird trying to like have it be opposite. And it was funny.
I think one of the weirdest moments I experienced for season 2 with them. I have not finished season 2, so I have not gotten to the episode to see this yet. But there's a moment where it looks like they're playing the Utah Jazz. And I only know this because I drove past the stage and the big elephant door was open. And it was the stage that they had the courts in. And it was the old Salt Palace where the Utah Jazz played in like the 80s and the very early 90s. I was a kid going to these games. Like my dad's old law firm that he had worked for at the time, his boss was the one responsible for bringing the Jazz from New Orleans to Utah. And so we would go to
That's
these games
cool.
all the time. And I mean, I'm like 5 years old when I'm remembering this, like 5, 6. And I pulled up at there's a stop sign right at the stage that this was in. And I just start crawling past. And it was like what you see on cartoons of like that like jerk back flashback. And it was so spot on perfect of the Salt Palace
Ah, oh,
that
that's
I
cool.
could see like that was my seat. Like when I was a kid, I sat right
Awesome.
there, and I have never been triggered
Oh.
like that by seeing a set. It blew
That's cool.
my mind.
There's you probably heard about the pop-up Toys R Us for filming on
No.
Burbank. It was like a couple of weeks ago, but someone posted like, oh, they just like popped up a Toys R Us for this production. And sure, yep, went on over. I believe it's the same giraffe that's usually in our prop ops.
Oh
So,
yeah, that's where it's been then.
And it's funny because I go on over and it's in the same class as a Chuck E. Cheese, and it looked just like the one that I would go to growing up. And I'm just over here like crying a little, honestly, because I was so excited to see a Toys R Us again. And I'm like, man, if only it was real.
What's so
Think
crazy is
that.
there's been all these rumors of Toys R Us coming back, and I was in the prop house probably like a month ago, and there was a hold tag on the giraffe, and it said
Good
Toys
for
R
that.
Us, and I was just like, oh, they must be like doing some of the new com. Didn't even think twice of maybe they're going to be.
Yeah, no, I think it's for a movie, but it was just really funny. And then like I was super checking casting to be like, well, what day are they filming this? It's like, do they need someone? I could be background, just I want to go. But yeah, it was
That's
really
cool.
cool. Like it seemed legit too.
I think that's one of the weirdest things of living in LA is that you wake up one morning and crews have been working overnight, and you go to leave, and all of a sudden, like, wait, where am I? Like, what time? Like, streets all of a sudden have like cars from the 1950s. Like,
Yep.
when Tarantino was filming Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, they started prepping part of Hollywood Boulevard while I was down in San Diego for Comic-Con. And I get back from Comic-Con, I get ready to kind of head to work for the day, and I'm driving down Hollywood Boulevard, and also I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And like all the
Yeah.
storefronts are like all changed like to the 70s. And it took me a second to be like, oh, this is for that new Tarantino movie. Like it was
Yep.
very weird.
That's so neat though. Even like with like Winning Time, because of how much time was spent in the 70s during that first season, like I'll look at real photos from the 70s now and I kind of partially feel like, oh yeah, good times. I remember those days. Like clearly wasn't that more anywhere close to there, but it was still like really, really weird to have that connection now when I see these things. And because it feels even legit like on set too, and like, they make it accurate.
It's I think it's one of the strangest things about working at a movie studio is that, yeah, we do just roam the lot throughout the day, and yeah, areas can just be transformed, and yeah, you it kind of it's just like time traveling sometimes where
Yeah.
you just feel like, oh yeah, I was there.
Yep.
I was totally there in the 70s. Why would you think otherwise? Oh, I wasn't born yet? Oh, yeah, I guess that's a problem.
Yep. Yeah.
it was such a weird experience.
Really just LA in general though just has so much from different time periods normally too, so like that does not help. But it's neat.
And I mean there's parts of like downtown when you get to when you go to downtown, and I mean you might experience a little more having grown up in New York, but when you go down to like Manhattan, like there's areas where you can see that East Coast influence downtown where
Right, yeah.
it totally feels like New York. I mean, so much so Joker 2 filmed down there as part of Gotham City. So
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
it's so wild. Even in the new Joker trailer, you can see some of those shots. It's like it's so wild. It looks like that's just downtown Los Angeles, but
Yeah. So I think we can act even with the weather and everything. Like, I mean, yesterday, for the first time ever, I saw the zip tying of fake leaves onto trees to change the season. I was so excited about that. But yeah, no, that's cool. But no, it's like I grew up in more like technically it's Western, but that makes it sound like more like cowboy kind of thing. I'm like, it's not that. It's like up and over. I'm like closer to Buffalo and Niagara Falls area than the city. I honestly only went to the city like twice in my life. Well, three times now. But all like for like a less than a week total, I would say. So yeah, but it's neat there and definitely different.
I've spent very little time in upstate New York, and so it's like it's a gorgeous area, and it truly is like it's so weird to think that like Manhattan and all the rest of New York are same state. Like it just doesn't
Feel
feel.
like different areas so much, but yeah. Interesting.
They're pretty incredible areas. So now you also, acting wise, like I kind of mentioned, you did do one of the episodes of our series Screams from the Dark.
Yeah,
That
that's what.
was so much fun to work with you on. It was one of those moments where, with Screams from the Dark, we were trying to always knock out 2 to 3 episodes in a day, and so it could get stressful. And like, there would usually be one of us directing one and one directing the other. And I mean, as you got to see, like, I was directing the episode you were in, Watson directed the other one, and it could get chaotic. And I loved nothing more than, I mean, it was just you and Ian Joseph in the episode. And one thing I can definitely give you props on as an actor is your preparedness.
Well, thank you. Thank
So
you.
it made it so much easier on me to be able to just take the time to set the shot, and then boom, we could just go, because we just knew what you were doing. And that it's definitely, as I direct more and more, it's something that you hope that you're going to get in an actor when you cast them. And so that's something that I wanted to make sure I gave you props on, with that, of just the preparedness level and the professionalism, especially for a shoot that it's like, you're like, yeah, it's a couple hours and we're going to feed you.
I appreciate it. I mean, first of all, it was so much fun. It turned out amazing. And on top of that, like you said, you're stressed. Could not tell. Seriously. Like you did not seem stressed at all. So like it was just fun. Like, and I've always kind of like just kind of like doing projects where you can kind of read through it, be like, okay, I know what I'm doing, and like just have fun with it. And it was really cool to see how that all came together.
Yeah, it was really fun. We got to screen it as part of Warner Brothers' 100th anniversary, like at the studio. Like,
That's
it was
fun.
crazy that we got to make that. But yeah, it was very fun working with you on that. And hopefully we'll have more things that we can throw your
Awesome.
way as well. Because yeah, you're a lot of fun to work with on set. So
Thank you. Well,
had
so
to
are
make sure
you.
to give you that prop, so that people listening can be like, oh, maybe we should hire Sarah too. So.
But yeah, no, I mean, like it's funny when you mentioned the preparedness thing, because I was actually recently thinking about how some weird thing that I did like early on was like one of the first like plays that I was a part of. So like not the middle school musical, it was like one of the first like high school plays. Like I genuinely, like even on my application paper, was like, I know I don't have half the experience of theater as everybody else writing on these pages. Like I knew that, but I'm like, I really want to be a part of this, and I think this would be such a cool learning experience, and it'd be great. So lo and behold, I got in, had a part, and even though, like honestly, like my character, like I had a couple lines, nothing crazy. I really went through and I like created like a good couple of pages worth of like basically a little lookbook of like, oh, like this would be like my ideal like hairstyles and makeup. This is the outfits. And here's the backstory of this character that honestly like does not have a backstory in the actual play. And I just remember like people were so impressed by that. And I didn't think anything of them. Like, what? No one else is doing this? But apparently not. I was told I was the only one who did something like that to that level. And yeah, that's just how I tend to do things, I guess.
It's funny you mentioned the backstory though, and preparing that way. And this is totally going to be a name drop, but kind of coming out of the pandemic, I took a class from Jason Alexander, who George Costanza, of course, on Seinfeld, and I mean, in hundreds of other TV shows and movies. But one thing that has always stuck with me, and he talked about this both coming from an acting perspective and a writing perspective, is that even a character that might, be minor, or they leave the scene and they're going to come back, half an hour later and into a whole new scene, is that technically that person still, yeah, they have a life, they have a backstory, they're still going on and living life. And so you have to give that kind of credence to creating that character. And I'd never thought of it that way. And so now, like, as you mentioned, that says so much more to the way that you prepare, because it was one of those kind of aha moments where I was like, yeah, why don't I ever think about that? Like, yeah, they don't just leave a room and they just stand there frozen waiting to be called back. Like, yeah, if this is the real world, of course they're out there doing something else.
Yeah.
That's really cool that you had thought of it that way.
I even had like mental fan edits in my brain. Like I had a playlist of the songs. Like I had I thought about it a little too much. I had a lot of time on my hands about that. It was still something I like to do, and I think like I do some level of that even today for like everything. I have a notebook where I kind of create the bat stories and write down information about. I used to do it for like every major like audition, and then I'm just got kind of busy to do that. So now it's just any like major role that comes through, I have like a page in the notebook for that, and yeah.
That it's really respectable, and I mean it shows respect to both the writer and the director that you're putting that level of attention. And I mean even when we were shooting Bundy Manor, my friend Greg is one of the torture victims at the very start of the movie, and it's like really all it was yeah, show up, man, like you're gonna pretend to get tortured, like that's essentially it. And he gets to set and he went to Watson immediately and was like, so like who is this guy, like what? And Watson's like, well, I mean, he's a thrill seeker. Like, that's like, there's not too much to him. He's like, yeah, can you give me, like, he just wanted more. And he's like, it's just my process. And so Watson, like, helped him quickly. Like, yeah, so he's gonna, like, he helped him build quickly, like, who this guy would be, just
Right.
to help him get to that point. And I mean, everybody has their process, but I love that people, that actors are thinking more and more on that level of, no, I need to, even if it's the smallest role, this person has a meaning and they have a purpose. And it definitely coming from like a writing, directing, producing standpoint, it started to really make me take a much deeper thought into who even
Right.
just like one-off characters are, so that when actors like yourself come through, I can answer those questions of, oh, this is who this person is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got three lines, but they're important for this reason.
So it works. And even just like even in like I used to take a cold read and improv acting class pre-pandemic. And one of the things that we would do sometimes is, all right, you went through the scene, read it as the other role. And I've done that even like in writing groups where I'll go through and be like, all right, let's write it differently and like write it from the other character's perspective. And that like that adds so much. I don't know why it works that way, but it just does. And it just like I don't know, it takes our brain from going like, oh, this is like the main character we're so busy focused on, and like here's the entire world and everything else going on and like the backstory behind it. And yeah, I just like doing that.
Yeah, I'd heard the directors from Talk to Me, easily one of my absolute favorite movies last year. I think everyone's glad it's out of the theater, so I would shut up about it at work. But they had talked about last year about when people were the actors that had to be possessed. I mean, it's a weird thing to just have to act possessed. I mean, being on set can be very weird for people that have never been on set. When you're sitting there trying to be possessed
Auditions
or
are weirder.
you're screaming at a camera, basically. Like things like that can be very awkward. And so they had every one of the actors that were in these scenes all do each other's possession scenes so that they could all get that silliness out, but then also like understand that. So that's something that when I heard that, I was like, oh, we're definitely doing that on the next movie. Like, yeah, it's a fun new approach that I am absolutely stealing from them.
That sounds like a good plan. That's cool.
So now it's no surprise to me that you do, write everything out for these characters, because it speaks to the author side of you, which I had no idea that it was one of the many hats that you wore. I knew there was the music side of you. I knew there was like the writing and the acting. And then all of a sudden to be like, Sarah's written multiple books? Like,
I didn't know people didn't know this. Like, I don't know why, but it, like, I don't know. It was just, it was not something I've recently promoted. I think that's why, because honestly, these books aren't that new right now. I do have one I'm trying to get out, but I'm trying to like get the buzz back up again because I wrote the first one when I was in high school and I got the idea when I was 15 and sitting at lunch and started writing stuff and yeah, like ended up like publishing it before graduating. And I
Yeah, I
did
read you were
like a local
17
book
to get the first
festival and talked on TV about it. And at the time it was like, yep, all right. All I had to do was be like, hey, I'm a high schooler who just wrote a book in a town where
one.
like, that's not a normal thing that happens. And what I learned is like back then, like I don't, like again, this could have just been my experience at the time, but it felt like people there are like, oh, I'm too young to do something. I'm too old to do something. Meanwhile, here, like people just do whatever they want, whenever they want, any age. Like there's no problems with that. So, like, I don't know. That was just something I realized later down the pike. But at the time, like I was just like promoting the first one. I said it was going to be a trilogy, which I think I spoke too soon because I did not realize going to college. Probably shouldn't have said that with the expectation they would be out shortly. But honestly, like I still have the lineup. The second book is there. It's together. It's just not out yet. And then like by the time I think it was after the first year of college, I had a completely different idea where it was more like a murder mystery, like thriller book. And that came out around that time, and I came back for the summer and did a few more like of the same events and such. And then the photography and poetry book that will also be featured at the event is literally like my school project from like one of my like photo classes I took at LMU. And I just decided, well, if we have to make a photo book, I'm going to really do this up. And I themed it to match my web series, LA Mermaids. So I just figured that would be a good way to go. And that was a different process and a different like printer company and everything. But yeah, now I'm just trying to get back into promoting those now that there's, I don't really want to say there's time with everything going on, but it's not like I'm in school anymore. Like now I have a car, I can drive places. Like it just makes more sense to try to bring that back at this point, I think. And was able to just reach out to the Grove and be like, hey, this is what I've done. If there's any availability, they're like, how about several months from now? Because there wasn't any availability, and luckily here we are. So that'll be on Saturday. I'm very excited.
So now, but as a 15-year-old, I mean, to write, so the first one was The Enchantress. So that is will eventually we'll keep this is gonna keep going. So it'll eventually be the trilogy. Tell me how this idea kind of came about. I mean, at 15, most people are just wanting to, get home to relax and play video games or go to the next dance, and you're here writing a novel. I mean, to be a published author at 17 is truly unheard of.
Well, thank you. I'll admit I'm not the best at relaxing, so that's the downside. I'll add the disclaimer. I'm working on it. But yeah, no, it's just I always like to tell stories. I've been writing a notebook since I would like barely knew how to write, honestly. So it was just something I was very drawn to do. And when I was in like, let's say elementary school, I was a fan of the American Girl magazines. And in one of them, it featured a girl who was 8 year old. Like 8 years old and had a published book out. And I immediately, like, there was a click in my head going, wait, if she's 8 and doing that and not like too young to do something like that, where do I sign up? I want to do this. And I tried to write a book in seventh grade, but I learned very quickly. And sadly, this is still something that now I've learned the lesson from and I'm still doing is if I have a really, really cool, exciting big project in the works, I don't talk about it until I feel like it's together enough. Because my bad was I was like, I'm working on this book. This is cool. And people all wanted characters. And people who obviously never talked to me were coming up to me, being like, oh, I want a character. And now I have this notebook of everyone's characters. And it just became bigger than the thing itself. And it kind of fell apart at that point because I'm like, this is too overwhelming. I don't know where to take this anymore. It doesn't even make sense. And kind of pushed it to the side for a while. Then 10th grade happened, and I'm sitting at lunch, and I'm like, oh, this is the idea. Like, it was just like that spark of creativity, and that turned into like the whole book. And honestly, that has probably created a lot of great opportunities ever since. And I'm just so happy I was able to do that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's, I think one of the things that, and we kind of touched on it earlier, that people don't realize is just getting it done, getting the, whether it's a screenplay, whether it's a book, whether it's putting together a web series. So many people are so hard on themselves with being just a perfectionist. Oh, what if people don't like it? In the long run, all that matters is you got it done, you did it. So, because the people who are going to give you those opportunities, we all have to learn, kind of the trial by error way. And the people that are going to give you the opportunities are going to be more impressed that you actually did it, that you got it done. And you had that feather in your hat of like, yeah, I did this in high school.
And like not even to get into like too much of this right now because it teeters into my working on a big thing, can't talk about it yet. But admittedly, like, it's weird because I look back and I'm like, there was a moment as actually like basically at a brink of a really, really amazing opportunity and still in the works and it's going well, which is good. The thing is though, part of that required kind of bringing up like, hey, this is what I've done in the past. And like, I'm proud of it. I'm glad that happened, but still I was 15. Like my ability now versus then is not the same. Like I've improved, I've grown, but I think like mentally I just have to give myself a point where I'm just proud of like I did that though at that age. It was amazing for that age. And even though I'm better now, it's like because of that. So like I'm not afraid to show old work because I know it's old, but like so does everybody else. I'm just happy that I actually made it.
Yeah, that's you can't be too harsh on yourself of judging that, because it's like, yeah, you're gonna look back on it and be like, oh, that was silly, I did that, but it's like you were still a kid. Like,
I thought I did
yeah,
it
like
at
you can be harsh
that age.
on what you did as a kid versus now as an adult, like really making it a career and taking a go at it. Like, yeah, we all do that, and it's, I mean, there what's sad is I found a little book I had written in fourth grade, I think, and like I was cleaning out some boxes and just doing the whole transfer to bins and all that, and I start flipping through it and I was like, oh, my sense of humor has not changed. I still have the sense of humor of a 10-year-old, because there were jokes in those books that, as I've written scripts and essays and things like that over the years, that I was like, I have made that same joke that I made when I was like 9, 10 years old. And so it's like, yeah, you can't be too harsh on yourself, because either some areas you might not have matured out of, but others,
That's weird.
like, you know, yeah, it's if I looked at that and I was like, I should just throw this away, like I was a kid, like, no, you have to be able to enjoy the things that you've done and just grow from them.
Yeah, like admittedly, I had a YouTube channel where I posted weekly for years, and I only slowed down once I started being on set. And like, I have a lot that it still needs to be posted, but I've gone back. I've cringed. I'm like, why did I post this? No one needs to see me crying in the car. And like, but like, admittedly, like it was still part of that journey. It's still there, and it was real, and like, is what it is.
Yeah, we all take those jobs and do those things, and it's like it gets me to the next thing.
Definitely,
It's
yeah.
just what you have to do to get there. So now, so the book signing, it's this coming Saturday, April 13th, 12 p.m., Barnes and Noble at the Grove. And so you're gonna have The Lies We Tell
Yes.
available, LA Mermaids, and The Enchantress.
Yes.
So that's quite a collection. People can just get on like the full Sarah Hamilton kick.
Well, I'll admit right now I'm in process, or it's very complicated backstory. But I am in the process within like the next couple of days before Saturday, updating things online for this. Fun legal stuff. But technically, two out of the three I have copies, and I have The Lies We Tell, and I have The Enchantress, and like the ability to sign those. For LA Mermaids, that's going to be like an online order.
Okay.
Because again, that was through a different company, that's a different setup. But all of them have both like actual copy and PDF available too,
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
that sort of thing. Yeah.
That's awesome. And so, when it comes to if people aren't able to come out, so or people are listening to this in other states, how else can they be able to buy the books, to be able to read all your work?
Right, so I have it all linked on my website. I'm going to be in the process of kind of again, moving some things a little bit, relinking over the next few days, but like as of like 13th, 14th, it should be all set, ready to go. So it's like through my website and then like on social media, I'm at Sarah F. Hamilton on pretty much everything, and I'll like post about it too and kind of have it a little more out there. And I'm trying to expand a little bit and kind of get into like other booksellers as well, because I didn't originally have it through Barnes and Noble, and I think I'm trying to get it there too. Yeah.
Awesome. So, and we will have all the links for that on onthemicpodcast.com. So
Oh, thank you.
people, you can, even as this episode posts, can click through the links and be able to access
That's
all
fair.
of them, be able to follow you and connect with you. And one link I'm also going to make sure we have on there is your TikTok.
Oh, thank you.
So, as somebody who is not very adept to TikTok, so you have one of the few pages that is very fun to follow.
Oh, thank
Because you can
you.
tell that you actually put effort into telling a story. So whether you and your boyfriend are in solving or making him try on mermaid fins, I think was one of my favorites. That absolutely cracked me up. So they do such a good job just exploring areas throughout Los Angeles and giving such a unique just take on it just within that short time of a TikTok. And those are the kind of things I enjoy, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on TikTok. And so I definitely am going to link your TikTok as well.
Thank you. Sounds good. Yeah, I tried to I think like when I had the YouTube channel, I just got too overwhelming to try to update that, and my poor computer does not want to handle that much footage anymore. But like it what was nice is I was documenting everything. I could go back to like different points in my life and just rewatch it happen. And growing up, my parents like always like photographed and like filmed everything too. So like my life is just like there. I could look back at a point. I honestly think it's why my memory's pretty decent. Like as of what I had for breakfast, who's to say? I couldn't tell you, but like I can remember like basically being three, which is weird. But yeah, when it came down to like TikTok, it's like a shorter, easier version to basically just kind of like be your book of what's going on, like highlights of life. And it's really just make what's fun. I'm like, oh, here was a fun like princess party thing I'll put on, or like, oh, here's like if I can, depending on the set, sometimes it'll be something about that, or oh, something just released, I'll talk about that now, or just like whatever fun stuff's going on. And like exploring LA is a big one. I love going to random cool places. And like I had one recently that was fun. It was like the week of the Grammys. Like I had like a multiple hour like Cinderella party at one point. Then the next day I went to the Grammys rehearsal. And then like it just spiraled into like one of like the busiest, crazy weeks. And I thought, oh, this would be fun. So I made that into a TikTok and it's just fun.
Yeah, it's very fun, and it's always fun to live kind of vicariously through some of the fun events that you do. And yeah, so I highly encourage everybody to give you a follow there to see all of the cool events. And just yeah, you're up to so many things, and I think they'll get an idea when I say, like, I've literally watched you run from one side of the lot to the other to go from one job to the next. That is
Yeah.
like you get that sense of
Yep.
just how busy you are. So, but busy is good. We all hope to always be so
Yeah.
busy. So it's, I'm like you. I don't like downtime. When there's downtime, I get antsy, and I'm just like, what can I do?
Being busy is addicting. Like, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, learning how to relax, so difficult. It shouldn't be, but I think it's just. We're so used to doing things, and here there's like so much to do. So I think
Yeah.
that's part of it too. But yeah.
One of my friends years ago, as a joke, bought me Tim Ferriss's like the 5-hour work week book.
Amazing.
And I was like, you realize if I can condense all this into five, that's 35 plus more hours. I can just do other stuff now that it's going to be work. Like,
Yeah.
it's not going to be me relaxing like they want you to do. I'm just going to fill that with more work.
Yep. Yeah, even like if there's a day off, it's not a day off. It's never a day off. It's a day off of one thing, and then here comes everything else.
So, Sarah, I'm so glad that we were able to sit down and chat about this and get to know you
Yeah.
a little bit more. So both of our schedules are so chaotic that I see you in passing like once a week if I'm lucky.
Well, I'm glad we're able to do this, so thank you. This
And
is
so
awesome.
everybody, please get out again this coming Saturday if you're here in Los Angeles, April 13th, 12 p.m. Barnes and Noble at the Grove.
Yeah, it's 12 until 2. I think it's setting up a table there. I don't know like how full of an event it is quite yet, but it's definitely like, yeah, 12 until 2, I'll be there.
And don't hesitate to ask somebody there which floor it is on. Again, they
I don't
might
even know yet.
be mobile.
I think the first, honestly, but I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I need to ask that myself.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sarah.
Chris, thank you.